little bit of time after the tea break processing and sharing the experience of the morning. We'll have an opportunity for some questioning, comments. And then I believe this morning, a little bit later, we're going to have we're going to need to discuss about educator and education. Is that right?
There are two people here who are very important for us. That is Antonella and Vladimir. We could really just have a few glimpses, a little bit for Antonella because it was scheduled for Vladimir, he's a guest. So if you would have just for him 10 minutes or maybe maximum 15 for him to explain what they are doing in India, because they engage in educational projects with our questions included. And Antonella will give us also a perspective of the development of possibilities here in UNESCO. So we can reserve approximately maybe 35, 40 minutes together.
Okay. So we have until 11:45.
Is it all right?
It's a habit.
So the last 45 minutes we will shift to the larger question of education. Would you like to carry us forward?
It has been very interesting for me that you mentioned the heart, as far as I can remember only once, but the ear and the throat. Now the ear to me is quite understandable because it's the first organ to be created in mother's womb and the last to die. And in all cultures we have quotations about the ear. Old Testament, listen so that your soul can live. Quran, close your eyes and listen. Upanishad, the ear is the way, and so on. But why the throat?
There are many answers to that question. Can you see the relationship between throat and ear?
Yes. Well, the ear is connected to everything, actually.
Specifically, the throat and ear. We speak.
Come down.
We express ourselves, we speak, we sing. This is traditionally what's called the Akash Center. Akash, space. So space has different levels to it. The lowest level is here. The sound of silence.
See that again,
the lowest level. There are three up higher centers, yeah? Seven. This is what you take your hands like this. And you lift to it. You have brain matter flat. Now lift the chin. And visualize the sun. Sun, blow it. Visualize yourself blowing from your throat. As you blow there, widen. Open up the lotus of your hands and feel your feet. Your consciousness decide if you're more from the throat, more from the ears, more from the ears, more from the throat, eventually combine the two. And you notice after some time how easy it is to include also the heart as well. The rhythm calls this the throat beat. For the externalizing mind, what is expressed in space.
Still have the question about the heart. In Chinese, there are four characters for heart, and one is for to listen, and one is the heart. So you did it on purpose, just concentrating on the ear and heart and mentioning the heart? Or?
One needs to mention the heart in spaces which are less heartfelt. we were all rather heartfelt already. The atmosphere is so heartfelt here a priori. People gathered here open hearted. And somehow, because of these very intense days, there was a lot of people.
So if you come to
our hearts were open. I don't have any prefixed notion of what I should be saying. It's not a system with fixed parts. So I respond to what I feel is there in the atmosphere. I'm with you, you're with me, and we are in a continuum. So, but what I voice is a reflection of what is being called for, what potentialities are there to explore. And it can change every time. If you come to a different session, sometimes the language will change altogether, depending on the temperament, the frame of mind, the mood of the moment, the people who are there. Observations, questions, comments about what you've processed, what you've understood, discovered, what you have found difficult, strange, surprising.
And once again, for part the luminosity, the density, and in between,
intensity.
And then the corresponding ones?
In Ayurveda, it's called tamas, rajas, and sattva.
What can you develop a little more the connection you make between the gunas and the three words intensity and luminosity? Can you make a little more?
Yes, there are endless triangulations in the traditions, and they all correspond to that basic hierarchy. Consciousness, energy, and substance. Mind, life, and body. In Sri Aurobindo's terms, master, worker, instrument.
And the tamas, the sattva.
Tamas is your density.
Okay, tamas is density.
Tamas is your intensity. Sattva is your luminosity. That's in fact what they mean, those words.
When the two triangles interlock, Sri Aurobindo's
yes.
Could you speak
the two triangles interlock. We haven't driven the symbol in the story today, as well as in the Tantra. We have the 6-point star. What is that pointing to? It's pointing to ourselves as creative beings evolving with our density, our intensity, and our luminosity. That is this upward triangle, or what we call standing mind, life, and body. And then the descending triangle, which is another expression of the same thing, but on a higher level, coming down, creating rather than being created. There are many terms for it. The most elegant one is Satchidananda. Are you familiar with the term Satchidananda? Truth, consciousness, and bliss, existence, awareness, delight. So the question is, what is the relationship of these two? They interpenetrate, they are the above and the below, joined through each other. Interestingly enough, Sri Aurobindo has made it clear that the reality above and the reality below are pregnant of each other. The illusion is an interpenetration. What we are above, we are below differently, and therefore there can be an exchange. Obviously, the below is created by the above, by definition. Satchidananda is what is. Go into your depths or into your heights, you will experience yourself as a being which is conscious and blissful. And many good moments of that while we work. Even so, in our consciousness, in our energy, and in our substance, we may not be blissful or being or conscious. Ego, we have disruptions, we have distortions, we have imbalances, insofar as we are separated in mind, life, and body. So, the beauty of an integral approach is seeing that as we are below, we are also above. As we are above, we are also below. What that means for us as a process is very individual, very unique, very specific. And there are many agreements on how we make the two edges meet. The important thing is to get over the idea that as above, not so below, which is what a lot of tradition and religion would like us to believe, what we ourselves have agreed to believe quite some time ago and continue to perpetrate. God is somewhere and something else other than us. So that's basically what that symbol is saying. The realities of physicality, our finiteness is imbued with our infiniteness. And infiniteness carries our finiteness. That is the relationship of spirit and matter. You didn't ask about the square and the lotus.
What about the square and the lotus?
Are you familiar with your lotus symbol? I don't know. I'd love to tell us more about the spirit of God. Yeah. No? Why is square in the middle?
Hello?
Why is there square in the middle of the chickens?
Yes?
I heard always it's simple for men. Manifestation.
Manifestation.
One moment.
Manifestation in balance. Perfection. Proper home, a proper house, which is stable, and where all things are expressed and contained in their fullness, therefore the lotus in the middle represents
Hello?
The creative potential, yeah. Lotus, the heart.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Emerging from that confluence.
Yes, you can come in the afternoon and pick one up here.
Feel up here and down here.
Yes. Sure, sure. She's most welcome. She shall come. I'm here at
the... By whatever means you can, whether you do it for visualization, there is something above which is innocent, which you just take a point and feel. Do it sincerely. Feel in the heights, a point of nothingness. Now, feel love for the sake of, coccyx from your sacrum, from your sit bones, down to the center, toward the center of the earth. Quite material. Down to your heels. Imagine or visualize or feel a point down as you feel a point up. They're the perfect reflection of each other. If you are still at Saturn, yourself in an X, like this. Triangulations. That's kind of, do yourself in your triangles. Structuring with of what can be perceived. Would that be?
Can you dance us a relationship between the star and the flower?
The star and the flower?
Yeah, mother symbol and
But that takes time. I would rather share that with you with a performer. I would have too self-conscious. I'm actually quite shy. Mother symbol. Yeah, one really needs space for that. It's all about manifestation. A lot of space for us. We organize ourselves in various configurations, from the center to the circumference, from 1 to 4 to 12, that is part 4 to 12. Let's do 1 to 4. Can we just breathe for a moment together? Here, expand. Condense. Compress. Fuse. Expand. Hold power. Exhale, ascend into magic. Hold your breath out, rise into spirit, be empty. Inhale, expand. Hold the breath, condense yourself. As you exhale, relax down into your substance. Hold the breath out, relax up into your emptiness. So, you feel that relationship? Four. One, two, three, four. Shivita speaks about four basic components of our being: the spiritual, psychic, and mental, vital, and physical. We have it in all the traditions. Four is how we work the thing, how we assemble ourselves, or how God assembles us. So that is the center. That's as much as we could do now. 12 is much more elaborate. I'm doing it in class. Here's my cheap food.
Okay.
Interesting.
Maybe it's not too much to ask, but I would like.
No, but do it.
I would like to bring it in the round, you know, with you and your understanding, the orbit symbol. Lately it was put upside down.
The orbit symbol was
put upside down. And I remember the mother was very particular that the symbol is in the right position. It means the line down and this up. And because she, I don't know what she explained, why it was like that.
I also don't. I find the oracle symbol enigmatic. Can somebody explain the oracle symbol to me? I hear it so many times and I always forget. What is the oracle symbol? I know that it's about work.
We talked about it in the three weeks ago.
The five.
Center.
Five levels of the
center. Maybe you'll start at the center of the first symbol.
The center, the unity, the divine, the unknown. Then we need to soft around it, which is the creation of it, and the five are the powers of expression and perfection. So we came up, what is the perfection, how does it express itself, and then there came this revelation on the psychological perfection. Five psychological perfections.
But why could it be upside down?
Yeah.
I think that the upside down, it was only,
because you have a standing pentagram in the orbit symbol, you have the five there. Mm-hmm. And so it can be a standing pentagram, and the fallen or upside down pentagram was always used in others in occultism and like magic. So mother said, don't put it upside down. And so the key to the orbit symbol is actually you have to look at the petals and not at the line. It's almost like a visual trick on what you focus. You focus on the lines in between or you focus on the petals. So it's in the right way when you have the petal up. Two petals here and two petals here. It's like a visual trick almost. I have another question to the work. Can you say something on the collective dimension? Or because it struck me that you made us experience the work or the qualities of the five together. So I wondered about the collective dimension or collectivity in relationship to the glorious body. Because as soon as we speak about body, we think of this one body, or we speak about the body of the earth. I'm interested in the concept of a collective body.
Collectivity is our opportunity to realize diversity within oneness. Unity within complexity or disadvantage. Every human being is unique, quite different, amazingly different, yet astonishingly distinct. Depths, as a structure, position, as a creation. We all engage with the same process. As bodies, we practically are nucleus. So if we can meet as bodies with our consciousness, energy, and substance, we have an opportunity to know how different and how one. That is clearly what we demonstrate. Collectivity means what? What does it mean? What does the word mean? Collectivity.
So when you speak about the glorious body, there's an individual dimension there, and there's kind of like a cosmic or human dimension to it. And you claim is that also. Or if you speak about the glorious body, you speak about the embodiment, the individual embodiment.
The term glorious body implies an embodiment of something true. Yeah? So truth shines. Truth is glorious. Truth is love. Truth is consciousness. Mother speaks of four aspects. Or 12 aspects. Truth is all of it together now. Either experienced as unfolding sequences or as intense, structured simultaneities. The glorious body has as a flow. We experience upwards and downwards, we'll experience that flow through the chakras, through the various planes and parts of our body. Horizontally, we'll experience it with each other. That's why there's a world. So, you can hardly separate the two. The glorious body, in the center, take a group of children playing, and you'll see the glorious body. Enter a room and see an assembly of jewels, either put together chaotically or very symmetrically, and you see the glorious body. Look at your own hands. Look into the eyes of your partner.
Looking in it from
this. Look around and see the glorious body. See, we're dealing with something which is so enigmatic, so mysterious, so always more than anything we can say about it. Yet very much also as we could say about it. Yes. We have often pointed towards the idea of universalization of consciousness. And when Sri Aurobindo has created a yoga that is based upon an overhead descent. He has explained that by universalizing consciousness, which is exactly, I think, what you're talking about, if we learn, and he says we must learn
we must discipline ourselves to perceive the world as universal principles, as body, as life, as mind, as power, beauty, truth, and instead of as individual particular perceptions, he says we must move away from understanding based upon sense perception and impressions, mental impressions, towards perceiving the world as universal powers, qualities, principles. And if we do that, then this collectivity of infinitely diverse individuals becomes that reality. But it requires a shift of consciousness and a constant effort, actually, to shift consciousness into the universal mode. Because we haven't learned to do that.
It's also important to say that the universal mode is supported and nourished by that which is above it, which is the transcendental mode. So it's very important for us to be silent and still, down to our toes, not and exclusively, inclusively, as we open into the auric field, the depths of our listening awareness, we can embrace more and more the universe. Otherwise, we always do it from the position of the individual. You see what I'm saying? Because, matter of fact, our experience of separation is very real. There's you and there's me. The level that we've trained for thousands of years, we are different units. See, I'm speaking to you, listening to you. Unless I can stop being me, relating to you, that has two ends, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I know this very well.
No, I'm not giving you a lesson.
No, I know. No, but what you're saying, I think we know this.
Of course we do.
And yet it's the crux of our evolutionary dilemma also. And I noticed that in these days, when the mother's force is particularly intense, it's much easier to take this impersonal perspective. Because that force, that energy, actually is the force of universal power and beauty and truth. And so in the early days, I was noticing a moment ago when we were in our exercise, that in the early days of Auroville, when the mother was present, it was not uncommon at all for people to just sit and stare into each other's eyes. Because there was this field of impersonal presence that was so strong that it was like the last few days every day. And undoubtedly it can be like that permanently at some point. And then these things that we're speaking about right now will be everyday truths and realities of experience. But somehow we're in that transition where we get drawn back cyclically, like centrifugal and centripetal force, we go through collective phases of more individualized perspectives, back to more universal perspectives, and often at the expense of some crisis that forces us to do that. But the possibility is there for us to really live in an energy field that is impersonal. And then to speak about the universal or higher mind is not problematic at all. It's just the way it is. And then beyond that, there are other intensities that we are told can become our reality and experience. And those intensities are not only impersonal and universal, but they are essential, essential intensities, intensities of beauty, intensities of harmony, and intensities of power that have manifestations that take place over periods of time, unfold over periods of time in which we don't experience the fragmentation of time, but longer periods of continuous development. So that's a world of experience that we have to learn to navigate into. That's the purpose of our laboratory here.
Do you know of any school throughout this planet where the students or pupils look into each other's eyes, the neighbors? There used to be a school in Texas, in Houston, Marilyn Williams School. They were between 5 and 14, and when the students or pupils came into class, she asked them, look into your neighbor's eyes, what do you see? And they saw themselves, and she said that was such an extreme experience. And their homework was, go home, look into your pet's eye, a cat or whatever. And when I ask friends or whomever, they have never experienced a thing like that in school. It's really an extraordinary experience. The other one is myself. That's why in African languages, I and we is the same word. I've heard in Hindi. In certain areas, I and we is the same word.
I have a question for you. You begin the presentation saying that your work is based on concentration of the body, that basically all the truths and consciousness we're looking for sometimes outside was basically inside our body. There are two words that are not very clear. Sorry?
In the depths.
There are two words that are not very clear with me. It's imminence and transcendence. Could you, in that perspective, explain me how all the words, so that the experience you can physically have leads you to some imminence and transcendence?
Think and speak and feel a paradox. Normally we say imminence is different from transcendence. That which is imminent here is not transcendent there. This is a kind of arrangement in our logical mind. So this is here. Associate the word transcendence, something above things, perhaps not looking at them, witnessing them, but different from that. That's our usual definition. Imminence is what is here. Floor, time, place. The leverage to experience both simultaneously is what should have been called the psyche. The leverage. That which allows you to feel the source and the manifestation simultaneously. With your windows, from the outlook, recommendation, yoga. It's the divinity that resides in your depths. Utmost depths are the divine, unfolding imminently, yet having its source, its origin, its root in the above, in the Creator. So there you reconcile those terms. From the point of view of the body, if you're silent and all-inclusive, there is no difference between imminence and transcendence. If your field is open, upwards and outwards with imminence, that which is imminent is transcendent. Because it takes on the value of the universe. It takes on the value of the source of the universe.
Every tiny gesture. Feel with your depths. The depths are in all directions. Chemistry, metabolism, regard, intent, control, the abandon. All these are who we are, humanly transcendental. So we know through the arts, meditation, through the Qigong, through the philosophy that orients us to widen ourselves and deepen ourselves, to embrace these poles of our existence. That is yoga.
Many mother speaks about the consciousness of the sense in relationship to the ancient traditions of the glorious body. Is she opening something, a new dimension which hasn't been there before?
She's waking us up. Mm-hmm. Mother's waking us up. She's stirring us into action. She's stirring our, churning our substance with all the consciousness latent in it, with all the energy latent in it. What is the center of consciousness? With the sense of oneness that is in the, that we are made of. Body is full of oneness, but we don't experience it. The center of consciousness is the experience of oneness in the body and in the physical world. It's oneness, is what she called the center of consciousness. That is open to us to explore. If you look at the whole new age now, you know, all the different techniques and methods are opening to the oneness field. To the hologram, to the holographic matrix, where every breath, every touch, every movement of our being is a gesture happening within a whole. And there is no end to how to explore that. That is, we are innocent there. We are being born there. A sense of oneness is new to us. It's as old as the hills. For the human world, it is only now beginning to dawn on us that we are one substance and one energy and one consciousness. That oneness is what our body knows. And it's given the freedom to play, to be, to listen, to feel into that oneness. How to do that is innumerable. You can do it chanting, singing, you can do it in a deep contemplation based on some technique that we use. It opens us to the depths of our substance. We don't know what substance is. For us, substance is something that our mind has a tradition about. Scientists will tell you it's this, and you'll experience it like that. If you look at children, they are discovering substance. And I recommend that we do too. Because there is the center of consciousness. Something as simple as this. Okay, can you sit for a moment, sit straight like this, and you better relax. Feel into the heart center, just feel here. Now vibrate. Let your face be in another yes. Don't isolate it to the head. So when you vibrate, you feel down into your base. Very gently. But let it be not crude, not a bouncing, something soft that listens all the way down and all the way up. Not by breath, do it faster. Bring it down from your feet. Little waves. Don't isolate it anymore. Just be like water. Up and down. Small, tiny little movements that feel something for the whole. Easy. suffer being in my unit, being listening, not doing much. Maybe if I did, what is that? What is that energy? What is that awareness? What is that substance? Now, swing left to right. I mean around your axis, feeling your shoulders, left, right, around your center. Small, tiny little movements. Insignificant. Relax as you make them. Good, let's open your eyes. I don't quite understand. This forum here is aiming at creating curricula. Discovery, I mean, formulating, coming into some kind of body of knowledge that will eventually become an academic system.
I think it's like a basis for integral learning.
And science
and dance
should start to become instruments for that program of yoga and be influenced by that program of yoga so that they become integral learning experiences and discoveries. So that has been the research project that we've been trying to articulate for the University of Human Unity for the last 6 months or so. And so we're just taking another step today in the discovery of what that might be. We don't know really what that is, but we have some intuition of what it is. So we need to switch gears now.
Thank you.
Shift.
It's a pleasure working with you.
Transdisciplinarity, which is something new in the academic world. People coming together not only in working together, not only in interdisciplinarity relationship, but trying to go behind the discipline. And for me, what was my question? My question was how to go behind the disciplines, and what is this thing behind the discipline? And for me, is spirituality. That we had a lot of discussion with the people searchers about this, which are involved, committed in this research on the university. There is a group in France which is called CIREF, which means International Center for Research on Transdisciplinarity. And there are many people, for example, Peter Brook, he's part of this circle of researchers. And because I was starting my research on PhD on education, I need to have some input from these people, and these people, they were not in my university. So I organized a group such as this, and during 1 year, 1.5 years, we met every month, and there was a presentation done by different people, so about spirituality, about physics quantum, about and what is transdisciplinarity and what is this global approach to the discipline. So then I left UNESCO, and it was not possible to continue to have a full-time job and also doing research. So I went here in 2006, and I also my personal life changed. So it was an explosion. I think Euroville is a place in which this kind of thing happens. And I met Helga Brenninger. I knew her when I was in UNESCO, and I met her again here in Euroville, and she said, how can I help you? So I said, I don't know, we will try to, the first idea was to have a conference on education, integral education. But I suggested Helga to have a participatory approach to have this conference, for having this conference. And I don't like the way the meetings are organized sometimes here and everywhere. So people coming from outside, giving talk, beautiful talk, and then nothing happened or few things happen. So I suggested to Helga to have a long-term process to build together something with the people from our field interested in education. So I said, we should try this approach, which was based on a participatory process. For many reasons, we decided not to have this conference. And I proposed Helga to finance my PhD research here, so she accepted with a fellowship grant. And my research was focused on teacher training, because I started to interview people, teachers here. And the first thing which was very evident for me was the need of having a teacher training, because most of the teachers here are not trained. So they are not teachers. They are here and start teaching. So it was clear for me that there was a need for this. Diana was at that time helping me to start this project here. So it could have been the establishment or creation of the platform on education focused on teacher training. So and I went here during 2006, and I came here 2006 and 2007 several times. With difficult meetings also, with starting also with the teacher board, the school board. Maybe I had some difficulty to explain myself because I'm not very comfortable in English, but this is not the point. The point was and is that the teacher training was a, you know, I don't know, I put the finger in the
source possible.
Exactly. So, I had many, I cannot say violent, but strong reactions from the teacher, from people to people, such as we don't need you. You are coming from UNESCO, we don't need to be evaluated. This was one reaction. Something like this. You know, I was not very well accepted. So it took me a lot of long time. Each time I came, I went to see again the school board, the teacher center, also Rod and Dania and Francoise and Heidi helped me in this, because I need to be supported. It's not easy coming from outside and, you know, entering a group. So I understand. And also one remark was, why don't you stay here and you live here? And my reply was, I cannot now, but I can offer you the results of my research, and we can share this, and we can have something together, a project. Then something happened from the Brinkman Foundation, because they decided recently to stop to sponsor projects related to RV. And my fellowship was included in this. And I said, if you stop supporting me, I can't write, because I decided to have this dissertation at the end of this year. But it was also a very good thing for me, because it was so evident that here I can't force. This is not my position. I don't want to force anything. And people working on a subject, on a topic which is so crucial, you know, I really think that I should be here and working with you and somebody who wants to create a platform or a program on teacher training. So I reoriented my research, and writing the first chapter of my dissertation, I discovered what was the real motivation about education, why I'm doing this research. Because when I was a child, I was so unhappy about going to school. It was so suffering process. And when I woke up in the morning, I remember I said, oh, I have to go. So, what about the children who are here and go to school here? Are they happy? And I think it is a good way to know about education here in Oslo, starting from this simple and easy question. Are you happy to go to school when you woke up in the morning? What do you feel in your body? Mm-hmm. I remember for me it was something here. Aha! I don't want to go there. And I invented thousands of excuses. I have something here. I have a pen here. I can go. So I can work. So I remember it was not. It was really a suffering process. So I think, yes, yes. I think now, I wrote again the questionnaire, and finally this questionnaire is accepted, I don't know, from the school board, because I spoke separately with the teachers, but the questionnaire is about happiness in education, and I want to distribute this in the few schools, and then we will decide if it is useful for our bill to have such an assessment on education. This could be part of, this is, for my research I have enough data. I think it is, this could be the last trip for my research. But it is a process that should continue, could be useful for our bill. Also related to the teacher training. That now I think this is the right place to think about the opportunity to continue with you this process, which could create a program on teacher training based on the fact that we will have results, data from this my inquiry, and then they are available for you. And no, but I think it is a bottom-up process. You know very well that what is the situation here. I could be someone living in I live in Paris and could also come again here, but I need to understand if such inquiries is useful for you and could be used also for the teacher training here if you really want to have this program in your university for human beings. I want to add one last thing. I suggested to Rode, I presented to Rode the UNESCO chair for cultural peace, which is in Florence. And just before separate from UNESCO, I worked on the creation of this UNESCO chair, which is a research institute into the University of Florence. And it is a way of establishing relations with institutional academic work also for you. It could be a possibility. If the University for Human Unity decides to have to open to the academic work, I could help to establish this chair, which could have a program, one or 2 years program. There is already a UNESCO chair in Holby, which is with the Institute. And I think it's not difficult to, but it's a, could take maybe one year to work on this, and you decide. But I'm here and available for this. Okay.
This is going to be a long discussion.
Yes.
And I mean, not today, but for years. But the approach, I think, is good. From the beginning, I have said that the best way to approach the interchange between Orville teachers and educators outside is to do it from this kind of a platform, which is rather impersonal and detached, and can offer something to teachers who might then be inspired to participate. To try and move that kind of thing from inside, the participatory approach doesn't work very well here simply because everyone is overstressed. Everyone is overcommitted. And it's not, so far it hasn't been a culture of training and learning. It's been a culture of focusing and doing. And so I think that if this kind of a program could bring in a lot of new possibilities. People could only benefit from interaction with others who are working in the same field. But it requires a lot of input from others, from us, to create a structure for that to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that's been you've discovered that's true. And I think that Vladimir may have something to contribute to this discussion.
Can I ask one question?
Doing training.
Imagine that I continue, we continue to distribute this question in other schools. Could be possible for, it is interesting for you to have this? Because if now I stop to few schools, I have enough elements for me. But I think that for all of you, it could be very, very interesting to have such an assessment. What's going on in the school? Are children are happy?
That's the kind of thing that's going to have to be discussed for a period of time. Because we would have to have a group that's particularly interested in education and assessment to devise a strategy for introducing it into other schools. And that's a project. So that would take some time.
Okay. I would like to say something for teacher training in general, because I feel in Europe and in Western countries, people in the last 50 years try to do a lot around teacher training to improve the quality of schools. And if we look around, something has improved, but the essential thing has not. And the question remains, is it possible the way the West does a teacher training
to improve school. Mm-hmm. And I feel the improvement of school can only come by the inner improvement of the teacher. So we have maybe to find out another way around how the single teacher can work on himself to improve his quality, which is needed in school, instead of going to the outside and improve outside things which can help to cure some of the symptoms of the bad stories in school, but not the real school system. That's what I have been in school planning for 20 years with the Swiss government, and there was nothing coming out substantially. And I feel, when I come to Orwell, I feel here there is something different. We go from another approach that things can grow from inside only, and it's not a question of outside training, but of the quality that we, each of us, are able to develop. And I feel maybe we should go more in this direction.
I feel absolutely the opposite thing. And so this is not
That's
the time right. to discuss it.
Okay. But it's time for Vladimir.
Yes, thank you very much. Maybe we will say a few words if you want to be speaking of English.
You see, when I was going to come here today, I was not going to speak at all, just to sit and listen what are you doing, what have you done up to now. Of course, during this meeting, I have no know about it. But I can tell you only maybe 2-3 minutes, because I understand that we are here 3 hours already and you are tired.
You must be a very good teacher.
We have 15 minutes.
Yes.
We want to hear you.
No, maybe 5 minutes only.
Yeah.
First of all, I would like to tell that what we are doing now in India. Why in India? First, in English, my wife. Yes, I'm Vladimir Petrov from Russia, from the coldest part of Russia, from Siberia. Now it is minus 52, but here we are resting from this beautiful temperature. I'm with Integral Yoga on my level. I'm with Integral Yoga from 1974, when I first met this beautiful Courier of UNESCO, this magazine, when there was some information on Orwell, and since that time, me and my brother, we were dreaming to come to Orwell, and it happened only in 1990. I was the first Russian here to come to Orwell, and since that time I come and go, and our first intention for me and my wife Marina to come to work in Orwell in education, but then we have understood that we have understood that we should do in different way, because there is a problem when outsider comes and trying to do something. There is a little space in Orwell, maybe for very active educator. Maybe I'm mistaken, like me. I want to give everything to everyone. And to, we, you see, this global education crisis from the middle of the previous century, we also think a lot in Russia how to solve all these problems. And in Russia, all these years, I'm in education from 1980, all these years we were thinking how to solve the problem, how to make school, any school, a school of joy. We have such schools in Russia. When children don't want to go from school to their home.
Mm-hmm.
There are special groups of strong student who get these students very interested in school life to get them home. Strange situation. All these years we did some investigations, and we have read out conceptual fundamentals, and also we have full of practice conceptual fundamentals of education system for sustainable development. It's not just for fashion, sustainable development. No, we think that sustainable development is a road to no sphere. In Russia, maybe you know, also in France, they have the Chardin, but in Russia we have this beautiful Vladimir Vernadsky, who was the father of this concept in this area. And we decided to work out conceptual fundamentals of a new education system, which we had presented on different levels up to the United Nations in Johannesburg, in Rome, in Barcelona, in New York. And now we have come to India to put into practice this system, and we work in Ahmedabad, Gujarat state. We work with several schools, and we train teachers immediately from the first period of using these highly effective education systems and methods. Teachers are happy, children are happy, and parents also happy. I can show you a small 20 minutes film about this, these results. So we wanted to come to all of it, but some frank, very sincere people told us that it's not time to come to our review because they won't accept your work. Yes, no, I'm frank. So we, okay, anyway, we wanted to come to our review, but I don't know what happened. Some men from India, owner of several schools, came up to us and, okay, you should work for several months in our schools. Why I told you about that now there is no possibility to work in Orovi? I don't know. It's not my opinion. Five people, different level, all Orovians and different, they told us this sad argument. And we accept it. We accept.
We don't.
It's everywhere.
No. We accept it because, you see, for instance, 2 minutes more and I finish. I know that there is a great necessity for such school which gives not only Indian standards but global standards in education for the use of oral. But up to now, you know, that many parents send their children away in order to get this education. I proposed to some Oranians, which are not at the low level, but in the management, okay, give us land. We will invite about $1.5 million dollars from people from India. They live in India, but they want to do this work here. And in June 2009, we will start International Education Center. But people told me very frankly, no, it's not possible. We should discuss. I asked Okay, how long will you discuss this question? You can't tell about it. Maybe 1-2 years. I hope. Okay. While we are discussing, we will work it in here. When you are ready. That's all. Sorry for telling you, but it's my painful thing inside, because why? I come here with we bring here all what we have, all what we can. We bring here money, we bring, but they say, no, just wait, come to Oregon, 1 or 2 years, relax, feel the situation, anything, and then maybe something will happen.
Can you say something about the core of the method, what makes it so successful?
Okay, core of the method. We have about 4 very powerful education systems. They are called system of immersion. Do you remember?
The system of
immersion. Immersion. Like that. Yes. You remember the words of Shriya Aurobindo. I can put it in my own words. It's a strange situation in India that children are taught snippet by snippet.
Mm-hmm.
But what can be learned during 1 year, usually it is done during 7 years with bad results.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. You know better than yes. And we now use this system of animation when the whole school program, for instance, of mathematics, of chemistry, of biology, of physics, we can go through during 40 days. 40 days, but 1 week of first immersion, general holistic picture mm-hmm. of science, every day from different angles.
Mm-hmm.
But our student's body is divided into chairs, like scientific chairs in universities. And we invite for this beautiful world best professors of Russia. And in 2 months, we have second immersion, deeper into the same science. In 2 months, again, 1 week immersion. And the fourth immersion, after a week, you can examine our children, our students. We did it in Russia. I mean, we. Russian educationists, best innovative schools, but not traditional Russian schools. They are the same as everywhere, in India, in Europe, in America, in Russia. And this is only one system.
It works on all levels, primary level, high school level.
You see, this method we use from fourth grade, not from the first grade. From 9-10. We have also a system of collective teaching. Okay. How to make a collectivist out of egoism? How is it possible? It is possible on school level, but every day there should be a service of everyone to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone teaches everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone serves everyone. Mm-hmm. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years. Mm-hmm. You will see other people. Their eyes so shining with mm-hmm. the spirit of collectivism. But we realize also individual approach. Excuse me. It's not collective. Life in Russia during the Soviet Union.
Vladimir, when you said we, it's you and
No. I'm speaking on behalf of best Russian education centers.
So you're speaking on behalf of this organization?
Sorry?
You're speaking on behalf of this organization?
No, there is no such organization. You see, in Russia we have beautiful educationists. They are Шатал Сукамлинский, Макаренко, Щетинин, Дьяченко, and some others. I worked with different these people. But my task was to spiritualize their educational approach. Mm. And at the foundation of our new education model are the principles given by the mother and Shriyara. We presented our music. But I don't know. That's all. Sorry. Thank you so much.
How long is that in here? You hear for me?
No, you see, I've been here for 1 month, and on Monday,
what we're experiencing, and I'm saying we, in a large context of educators, we are experiencing the phenomenon of the principles of education articulated by the mother and by other seers in the early part of the 20th century starting to be applied and demonstrated scientifically. It's like from the scientific standpoint, there are massive amounts of intellectual human resources and physical resources that are being invested in the discovery and demonstration of true education. And so those principles and ideals that were articulated by seers 100 years ago are now coming out without any reference at all, often, to the original intuitive understanding. But it's the same original intuitive understanding which is manifesting through very well developed and controlled methodologies with results. And so I have a similar experience in the USA, having worked with good educators, and I know that there's a kind of revolution in the world with regard to education that Oroville can benefit from little by little. It has to percolate into and then find a basis, kind of like the supermind. It has to come down and find a basis, and then it has to evolve outward from within. And so this exchange is very essential, and it will take place gradually. My personal experience is that the mother authorized me to start the first school in Oroville in 1968. But coming back here 2.5 years ago, I was told it's better not to bring things from outside because we really don't need that here. But then there was one school which was completely failing. And I was told, if you want to take that school and do something with it, that would be fine. Don't expect very much support from anyone, but go ahead and do it. If you can succeed, then everyone will appreciate it. And so in just 6 months' time, doing teacher training and putting in new materials and so on, there's something happening which is quite interesting. But much more can happen in the future. And I think we're at a kind of transitional period here. When more people come into Oroville with children, with demand, with expertise, there will be a process of exchange and assimilation and growth. that will make it possible to do many interesting things. But we have to be patient.
5-10 years.
I think you're understanding correctly.
Actually, I want to say one thing, just very briefly. I agree with what God said, and there have been many discussions about that. But I also have to say that Oracle is still a place where anybody who comes and has a strong passion and feels a strong call to start a new project in Oracle, then you can make it possible. You cannot necessarily change the entire educational infrastructure in Oracle, but if you want to represent something that is powerfully different, I think there is a place for that in Oracle. But yes, you have to make it happen with a small group of people who want to experiment in that direction and do a pilot project. And then you see what comes. And I think that's how most of the projects have started in Oracle. Okay. So I would encourage you not to think just in terms of 5 or 10 years. But if you start a pilot project, you will also need resistances. You would have to exchange with other people who have different orientations of education. And you start to create out of that something that might even improve your very good system of education.
Before we disperse, we have a minute of silence. And I want to say and thank Vladimir lovely introduction, and I hope that we could collaborate and build up a field or in our university for the educational research, finally, what Shiryu Hindu International Institute for Educational Research meant. So we will have some research, not only theoretical, but also practical, to see how it can help enhance us to change our paradigm, because we are looking for the emergence of this integral paradigm. So educational research is absolutely impossible. So I welcome him to our university, to be part of it, and to share with us, and to learn with us, and to grow with us together, since he is involved in full-heartedly in studies of Shirvind and Mamaya, starting from 1974. He's our brother from Russia, from Siberia, strong climate with strong and full open-hearted people.
Yes.
Or who do not have two faces, who do not count two things at the same time. That's how much I know about that. And so we can welcome you to the University of Unity and to be part of the
system.
Yes.
Welcome.
So we will end with a minute of silence.